You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Thank you, Rocio and EJ. Let's give it up for them, doing a great job sharing with communion. Super appreciate them. And today is going to be an awesome day. It's after service, a little bittersweet. We're having a goodbye for CJ and Cherie. We'll be announcing that, of course. We all are aware of that. But the sermon kind of fits in perfect with this idea of them being sent off and them being called by God. And thinking about, they're going to Cape Town, South Africa. And it got me thinking when I read the text. We're doing the series called A Love That, from the Shema, the classic Hebrew prayer of loving the Lord with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And today what we're going to be hitting on is, our title of today's sermon is A Love That Sends and Sacrifices. And we're going to be reading, we've been going through the whole book of Acts. So we love the Bible in here. If you're visiting the West Side, we believe in the Bible, we follow the Bible, we live out the Bible. And we're going to be going through this. That's too much to hit in one sermon, but I'm going to pull some pieces out of Acts 13 and 14 today. And we're going to kick off with the story of what was happening in the city of Antioch. And it got me thinking about, what were the most influential cities in the whole world? So I did, I used Perplexity AI, and I said, what's the most influential cities, the top 10 in the whole world? So what do you think they are? Okay, top number one, it said, was Tokyo, because it's got so much money and so many people. Other reviews, I said, they always in the top 10, but they weren't number one. Then it had New York, had London, Paris, Beijing, Shanghai, Singapore, Hong Kong, Seoul, and right in the middle, I think at five or six, was our very own Los Angeles. All right, is one of the most influential cities in the world. And we get the privilege of living here, and God uses this for great reason. And I don't know about you, but to be honest, I love seeing talented people come to Los Angeles and join into the Westside Church. Spiritual people, gifted people. They come to the Westside from all over the world. Many of you, I'm sure, have come from different places in life. And I love it when you come and you use your background, your ministry skill, whatever cultural background you come from, and bring those gifts into the church. And God has certainly brought some great people. Certainly 4 years ago, having Ryan a dinner on and having CJ and Cherie and the whole Wakefield family, that was a lot of gifts brought to the West Side, amen. There's been people over the years. I know, I think a year before I got here, Chuka showed up, right, from San Francisco, and right away made a huge impact in the church and has, you know, thankfully bought a house. He said, I'm staying in LA. I'm like, thank you, Chuka and Rob, I'm staying in LA. I think about new people, like Kane leading our, doing the piano playing and singing. Thank you, Kane. I think about singles like Ryan Holland, who moved here, and so many Pepperdine students that come in. And I think about from Dubai, the Suleiman family. It's awesome. They moved here from Dubai. And their kids, you know, incidentally, I just heard that Shem got accepted to UCLA in their master's program. So great job, Shem. Congratulations. Of course, their other daughter was the youngest student ever to get accepted to UCLA. And then the other daughter got accepted to Pepperdine recently. I think a full scholarship. So amazing kids. You know, when gifted people come, it really does strengthen the West Side. And it encourages us. And it enables us to dream bigger dreams. And to see that God is planning to do incredible things. But then the flip side is when they move away, and I know how I feel this, I'm like, Lord, could you maybe send somebody else? And I felt that in here with a lot of the movement that's gone on. You know, when we're invested in the West Side Church and the greater Los Angeles family of churches, it feels natural to think the goal is to keep every gifted person here. But Acts 13 is going to challenge that thinking. One of the healthiest churches in the New Testament was not healthy because it kept all its best people. It was healthy because it was willing to send and sacrifice. And that's the theme for today. God calls us to live out a love that sends and sacrifices. And so I want us to begin to dig into the scripture right here. And let's begin reading in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up under Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Westside, we understand something about Antioch that is similar to LA. It was one of the great cities of the ancient world. Next to Rome and Alexandria, it was the number three most influential city in the first century. It was diverse, urban, influential. It was connected. People moved throughout the area of Antioch from different cultures. There was great trade. There was influential politics and religion, wealth. There was poverty. There was ambition, opportunity, and it all came together there in Antioch. It was similar to Los Angeles, isn't it? People come here for dreams. You might have come here for school, right? A lot of students that come to Pepperdine. They get accepted from all over the country. You might have come here to make it big in the entertainment industry. We have a huge industry in Los Angeles. It's all multifaceted, the tech industry, right? Fashion industry. We're an incredible foodie place, right? If you're living in LA, you got to try some of the great foodie places. There's so many good ones, right? Some of you are here for a season, for work, and you're figuring out life until God sends them somewhere else. You know, Carrie and I have been here for seven. We're in our eighth year. And before we arrived, and since we've arrived, what we've learned is this is really one of the most transient cities we've ever been a part of, certainly as a church. When we looked at all the numbers of the ministry, even in the years before we came, and since we've been here, roughly 30 to 40 people come in and join our membership or move out. These are people that are already usually disciples of Jesus from other churches that move in or move out every single year. So in a seven-year period, that's like 250 to 300 people that have been moving in and out. So you might wonder, why? How come there's always new faces? I always meet new people that come. I used to be a part of the West Side, but everyone's different. I said, yeah, it keeps transitioning. And if we're not careful, we could see that as instability. But what if God sees it as opportunity, right? As opportunity. What if West Side is not merely trying to survive the different transients of Los Angeles, but instead, it's called to become just like Antioch, ascending, equipping, changing the world type environment. I believe that is God's plan. A place where people come and they're strengthened, they're discipled, they're trained, they're healed, they're loved, and then they're sent out with a purpose. That's the right attitude for us to have, amen? Healthy churches aren't stagnant. And I will say one thing for sure, Westside, we're not stagnant. We're not the same old, same old, same old. It's changing all the time, and that's a good thing. It's painful, though, but it's good for our soul. As we study today, I want us to think about this one main point. Set apart for God's purpose, right? We are called to live out a love that sends and sacrifices because we are set apart for God's purpose. And the one main thing I want you to know is that God sets apart his people and you, his church, to serve his purpose in their generation, in your generation. Amen. And so as we think about these things, we've got to reflect on the different types of things God's teaching us. And one of the things I want you to see from the text is that the city of Los Angeles, like Antioch, was diverse, influential, urban, it's connected, has all these things going on, and God wants to use us for great things. Now, before we can send people out, God arranges people to come in. And he arranged that the church in Antioch, you can see right there, had all these different people. They had Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, and Saul. All different walks of life, all different nationalities. Amen. Cyprus was like a Greek island that Barnabas, you know, the son of encouragement, was from. Simeon called Niger likely reflects that he has African background. Lucius from Cyrene, which is modern day Libya, right? North Africa. Then they had a guy that was friends with Herod's family. He'd grown up. He was connected to the political powers of that culture. He was connected in big time, and he was a leader of the church. Of course, you had Saul, who was from Jewish lineage, trained at the best institutions or the best rabbis. And he was from Tarsus. And this leadership was in place in an incredible city that became a springboard to the evangelization of the whole world. And see, before the church sent the missionaries, God built the team. And I believe he's continually to build a great team here on the West Side. See, They had diversity. It was gospel diversity. Different backgrounds, one Lord. Different stories, one Spirit. Different gifts, one mission. And so Westside, see, our diversity, if you look around, we are a diverse church. Age, ethnicity, experiences, we are very diverse. And that is a gift that we are to take care of, that we are to steward carefully for the glory of God. We have people here from cities and nations and generations, church experiences, professional backgrounds, all over the place. And it only becomes spiritual power when it becomes shared worship, shared love for one another, shared leadership, and shared mission. See, a diverse church, it can become one of the most impacting and powerful beacons of light in a city, but it can also become self-protective or consumeristic or divided and polarized like our culture. Antioch shows us something better, that God does not want our diversity to become fragmentation. He wants it to become a mission. That's his plan for us. We all can speak into some different aspect of the culture that we understand. And it's purposeful by God that we're this way, so that we can fulfill his bigger plan. Amen. I like as the text goes on, it says, set apart for me. Let me read the scripture for you here. It says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Right? Set apart for me. And so after they fast, and they were worshiping and fasting when that happened. It says, while they were worshiping and fasting, is what the text actually says if you look at it closely. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. I don't know how the Holy Spirit said that, but I have an inkling. And after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. See, God sets people apart through worship and surrender. They were worshiping and fasting, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to them. You know, God is speaking to us if we'll simply listen. And the more we worship and fast, the more he wants to speak and break through all the distraction of our lives and world. See, the Spirit is calling us to do something, and fasting's a good plan. I want to call on you as a church. As we're going to be going through some transitions, prayer and fasting is crucial. We had a day of prayer and fasting a month ago as we're asking God to show us what's the next step for the West Side. I want to ask you to continue to have times of prayer and fasting. We'll put a few on the schedule for the whole group, but I want to urge you yourself to put extra time into listening to God and asking him to tell us, God, where are you sending us? What are you telling us to do? How are we to make ourselves available to you? You know, in the text, God doesn't tell us how the Spirit spoke necessarily. But I have an inkling. My guess is that God was stirring in Barnabas and Paul, right? And they probably said, I think God's calling me. He probably told their partners. People probably told them. They had probably friends in other cities they knew. And they were thinking, somehow they were feeling called. And I'm sure as they were praying and fasting, you know, everyone else goes, hey, maybe they prayed out loud in a group and said, God, I know you're calling me here. Father, I know you had me meet so-and-so. I know, God, my gifts are used here. Next thing you know, they all realize the Holy Spirit wants us to set apart Barnabas and Saul for this great work. They saw their gifts. And this is how spiritual discernment works. God is working on all of us. Now, here's the thing. Not all of us are going to have to go out, all right? Because God's got a purpose for us, right? We're called to his purpose. We're set apart for something. And God wants us to consider what he's calling us out to. This is why we worship, and this is why we pray. We pray a lot. This is why we're focusing on solitude through the summer. We're going to have a time of covering the practicing the way material as a church. We're going to have certain individuals helping guide us through that material. The practicing the way website is amazing. You can avail yourself of that. Spiritual formation is how we don't get fragmented. Instead, we gain maturity to use the gifts God's given us to expand the church. We don't want to be a church that's led by fear or panic or anxiety or, oh my gosh, people are leaving. Maturity says, God, what are you calling me to here and now, even though it's difficult? We want to be led by God. Amen, church? And so that's why we focus on these types of things. And see, the Holy Spirit is setting people apart. And he's not calling all of us to go to another country. He's calling every person that says Jesus is Lord to surrender. He may be saying to you, set apart your home. Thank you, Hanley. I know you've done that a lot. Set apart your marriage. Thank you for our mature marrieds, our core leadership group, who want to guide us, to guide all our young marrieds. We've got a lot of young marrieds. We want to guide them on how to have healthy marriages. He may be saying, set apart your career. Your career is not the mission of your life. It's not the purpose of your life. But I hope you have an awesome career in LA. It's hard to survive here. Or I hope you have an awesome, but it is not the priority of your life. He wants you to put it at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross. Surrender your money. We're going to talk about giving to world missions here today a little bit. Your leadership ability, your time. See, Acts 13 is not just about them going to new places. Acts 13 is about making themselves available to God to use them in whatever way God has intended. Oftentimes, it's right where you're planted, to flourish where you are planted. So I want to all ask all of us here that are here today to really consider surrendering your life to the mission. Yes, CJ and Shree are heading out. They're going to be leading a great church in an incredible city, making a huge difference. Other people are going. Oscar and Jess, they went out, right? They're leading in Merced. Pray for Merced. These churches become our family. They are already our family. But God's calling a lot of us to build right here. And he's calling you to something big as well. I'm convinced of that. Amen. See, God stirs our hearts. The church discerns. The Spirit confirms. And the church sends. A sending church. Sometimes it's sending down the street. Sending to a new neighborhood. There's so many neighborhoods and cultures, even in LA, we haven't gone to yet. Amen, West Side. There's lots of work to do. The Spirit's call is personal. But its purpose is communal. It's to get us to change the world. That's what he's calling us to. Amen. So as you go on in this journey, so they head out on their missionary journey. They start preaching about Jesus. And I love this text where it says in Acts 13, verse 36, that after they had preached about Jesus, it says, and he's telling the history of the nation of Israel, and he gets to a part where he says, and David had served God's purpose in his generation. And then he died and he was buried and he decayed, but Jesus didn't decay. He resurrected. He's leading, everything was leading to Jesus. But I want to land real quick on this verse here. David served God's purpose in his generation. See, Barnabas and Saul went out and they didn't preach themselves. They didn't preach the brand of their church. They preached Jesus. And as he tells the story and comes upon this verse, it inspires me to think about what our purpose really is. And the thing you got to think about is David said he was going to serve God in his generation. He couldn't serve God in our generation. He served it in his. He could not do everything, go everywhere, or solve every problem, but he could serve God's purpose in that generation that God gave him. And that's God's calling to us, to serve him in this generation, in our time. We cannot reach every city, but we can serve this city. We cannot disciple every person, but we can disciple the people God puts in front of us, in our neighborhood, in our workplace. See, Paul's sermon that he preached that day was to inspire that culture at that time. But the word of God transcends culture. And is designed to inspire us in our culture, in our time. The gospel can change lives. And church, we are called to change lives right now, right here. What is God's purpose for you in your generation? You have a purpose to fulfill. It has something to do with Jesus. Trust me, right? And the message it goes on and says is they were proclaiming in Jesus the forgiveness of sins, right? They were proclaiming in Jesus the forgiveness of sins. That all who believed receive forgiveness of sins. And that's what we need. We need forgiveness of sins. Because the world is dark. It needs healing. It needs a lot of healing. I was mentoring a guy years ago out in the Inland Empire part of Los Angeles. Right, which is technically not Los Angeles. It was one of our sister churches. And my wife and I were mentoring him and his wife for a couple years. Great friend, still is a great friend. But he had a terrible marriage. He always got upset. He always lost his temper. Things would go a little sideways. He would lose his temper, and he was very harsh. And their marriage was fractured, and we tried. We used all the skills we had. I read scriptures. We went pray. We did everything we could, but their marriage just kept getting worse. His anger, he had some deep stuff. Finally, he went and saw got some spiritual counseling, a professional counselor that went through his story of origin with him. Helped him unpack the origin of how he was angry at his father and how he was angry at not really having a father in his life. And that he transferred that anger onto God. And he was blaming God. And so anything that went wrong, he would take that anger toward God and blame it on his wife and act harshly. He believed the Bible, but he couldn't unlock that piece of him that was stuck. See, in Jesus, we get forgiveness of sins when we see what he did for us and we're able to own our responsibility for his death on the cross. And then we have the hope that he resurrected. And so what happened with his brother is as he talked, he was able to get in touch with the fact that he was blaming and not taking responsibility for the pain that he was having pain, but he wasn't taking responsibility for his response to that pain. He had to own, I have no excuse to be harsh with my wife just because I feel mistreated. There's no excuse. I killed Jesus. I need to take ownership of that. And the scales fell from his eyes, and he had this cathartic time of real repentance. And you know, their marriage began to heal. And even to this day, they're doing phenomenal. And when things go sideways, he just gets back at the foot of the cross, remembering what Jesus did, understanding that he has to take ownership of his actions, that he can't blame. His actions actually hurt him more than the actions of all the pain and hurt around him, because his own actions damaged his own spirituality and hurt his marriage. As he began to take ownership, their marriage improved incredibly. They're great leaders, credible friends. Our nephew Nathan's great friends with their son. And I'm so grateful that God changes lives. See, he heals people, and that's what Paul and Barnabas knew would happen. So the question I have for each of you today is, do you really believe? Do you believe, all right? Do you believe that Jesus can change your life? And he can. He can change anyone's life. In Acts 13, verse 47, it says that Paul and Barnabas were made a light for the Gentiles. They're a light to the Gentiles. They were sent to change people, and they're preaching in these cities. They're a light to the Gentiles. And in the text, let's read this text right here. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. See, they were set apart to preach to different places. They were set apart to preach to people who didn't know the God of Moses. The Gentiles were those that weren't raised with an understanding of the Bible. You know, in this city, there's a lot of people who don't have an understanding of who Jesus really is. They don't have an understanding of Christianity. We are out on the campus meeting people. We have Bible talks on Thursday with the college students, and Diego did a great job leading this week. Great job, Diego. Super proud of you. But we're meeting all kinds of people. Many don't believe in Jesus at all. I think it's something like less than 50% of UCLA students have any kind of faith in Christianity. I think it's something like 35% is the numbers right now. I'm telling you, our culture needs to hear and see the light of the truth. All in this city, people need to see it and hear it. Good job making it to church today. But let me tell you, the mission is out there for sure. It's out there for us to do. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. That is why the church matters. People need to hear it. They need to hear it not only here, but all over the world. And I'm grateful that we are a church that does go out. Our church has been a part of planting and supporting churches all over the world. In particular, we helped plant 17 different churches throughout the Middle East and North Africa. Each year we give to the Middle East and North African missions. We're a church that thinks beyond just West Side. We think, yes, we want to help LA. We want to help the nations. And I'm proud of you guys. Great, great job with that. Right now in the Middle East, there is a lot of turmoil. Our Gulf states are still having some drone attacks. It's affecting them over there. We have a number of churches all throughout the Persian Gulf. Then we have all our churches in the Arabic-speaking areas of the Middle East. And they recently, just this week, sent us a video just to help us be connected to what they're going through and to continue to pray for them. Let's play that video at this time.
These days, the MENA region stands under a heavy shadow. War has shaken cities, fear has undergone, and destruction has touched lives in ways words can barely capture. The sounds of conflict echo where laughter once lived, and uncertainty weighs on the hearts of many. Families are displaced, children are afraid, and the future can feel fragile and unclear. Yet, in the midst of this darkness, a different spirit is rising, the church. Though scattered across nations, cultures, and languages, it stands united. The saints are coming together in fasting and prayer, lifting their voices as one before God, crying out not only for safety, but for true and lasting peace. They are holding on to and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to those tormented by fear and the threat of death. The message of salvation shines brighter. It is a message that declares that darkness does not have the final word, that love is stronger than hatred, and that life is stronger than death. The churches continue to stand together, faithful and unwavering, believing that God is still at work, bringing healing where there is pain, unity where there is division, and peace where there is war.
Amen. Please keep praying for them. And as a church, we are a sending church, and a sending church sacrifices, all right? We have traditionally given annually to the Middle East and North Africa and the Baltic Nordic mission fields. This year, again, they've asked for us to give, and we've made a commitment to hit a goal of $110,000 for world missions, and some of that stays for local missions. But here's the thing. Our goal last year, we hit it, guys. We went over our goal. We begin giving in June. We give June, July, and August. And it's something we've done that makes a tremendous difference in a part of the world and connects the Westside Church to Jesus's world mission. Thank you, Westside. I'm faithful and confident we'll hit it again. Amen. Amen. As we go on and as we close out, I want to hit a couple of final things here. See, the disciples were set apart, Paul and Barnabas were set apart to make disciples and strengthen disciples. And they went and they built these churches. And they preached the gospel in that city, in Acts 14 it says, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And then it says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. I didn't read the text, but the Apostle Paul in that city that they had traveled through, one of the cities they'd traveled through, is great persecution arose. He was actually dragged out of the city and stoned. So when he's saying, many hardships have to be endured to enter the kingdom, he was speaking from personal experience. For us to build God's kingdom, locally and internationally, hardships will occur. But that is how we get strong. See, they returned to strengthen the disciples and encourage them. CJ had preached last week, our goal was to figure out how to remain true to the Lord with all our heart, right? Barnabas told them all, remain true to the Lord. And that's what they were doing with their strengthening of these churches. And we as a church believe in discipling. We believe in having mentorship. We believe in helping each other. There's a book that we mentioned earlier in the year. It's called Renovation of the Heart by Dallas Willard. If you haven't downloaded it, bought it, or I want to urge you to get it. We're going to be giving out some study series based upon that book to help us with one-on-one discipleship, one-on-one maturity, to grow spiritually. We believe in that. We want that to happen within our small groups within the church so that we can become disciples, yes, but stay faithful as disciples. Bottom line, church, God's calling us to something big, and he's setting you apart for it. And it's going to involve some hardship. It's going to involve connection with one another. It's going to involve discipleship. It's going to involve some hard talks occasionally to become what God asks. It's going to involve real repentance, Real repentance means a change of the way you think and a change of the way you act and a change of your priorities. And it's not a one-time thing. Yes, we teach people you have to repent and be baptized for salvation. But repentance is a lifestyle of surrender, of remembering that Jesus gave everything, and so he's asking us to as well give everything. Ascending Church must be a strengthening church. And they built these incredible churches. They sent out people. And then Paul and Barnabas, they came back, which is amazing. So I don't know, CJ and Sharia, if you'll be back on the west side eventually, but Paul and Barnabas came back. It says, from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them. So it's not you doing it, it's God through you. God is setting you apart. Ascending church becomes a celebrating church. Ascending church becomes a church that sees miracles going on all throughout our lives. Have you seen those miracles happening? Have you seen lives changing? I'm seeing them change. I'm seeing young people who are complete introverts become incredible leaders of groups. I'm seeing people who didn't think they could overcome a sin, overcoming sins they never could overcome. I remember the stories of my friend who had a terrible marriage and now has a great marriage because he had to do some deep personal work that helped him overcome some hangups. And then he's able to love his wife the way God intends for him. And same thing for wives, have to do that deep work so they can love their husbands the way God intends. God is setting you apart today. And so my one challenge for the whole church is this, all right? I want you to ask God this week, how are you setting me apart for your purpose? How are you calling me to sacrifice? Each of us is to ask God this question, maybe fast for a day. And then I want to also add a little bit of something else. Ask somebody else who knows you well. After you've thought about it, I have a feeling what you're thinking, God's going to put on the hearts of other people to tell you. Church, we have a lot of work to do here on the west side. There's much to do, all right? Now, I want to confess something to you. I might put up the curtains next week. And here's why. I want to move everybody to the front of the auditorium. I know the extroverts hate that. They want to sit in the back. But I might mix it up for us a little bit, all right? I see a lot of, we got three empty rows in the front. And I want us to be connected, because the cross-pollination of feelings, ideas, attitudes, singing, it all makes a difference. God wants to set each of us apart for something. I know that's a small little thing I'm going to do just to kind of shake it up in here, all right? I know, guys, YoPro's way in the back. Next week, front three rows. Okay, I see you back there. How is God setting you apart, and how is he calling you to sacrifice? God has placed us here for a reason. In this city, in this generation, with these people, with our gifts, with these opportunities. Because see, David served God's purpose in his generation. Paul and Barnabas served God's purpose in their generation. Now it's our turn. Let's serve God in our generation. Let's be ascending and sacrificing church that is set apart for God's purpose. Amen. Love you guys.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.